The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. And with me today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And I thought I'd start off today just talking a little bit about why I take the approach I do with patients and their complaints, because it differs a little bit from mainstream medicine's approach, although I'm not sure who's out of step. Is it me or is it the mainstream medicine approach? And the difference between my approach and what mainstream medicine, mainstream medicine seems to rely on drugs. I know, Janet, you see a lot of people and they come to you on, what, 5, 10, even 15 prescriptions at one time?
Very frequently.
And, you know, and I saw that happening and I said, does that make any sense? Are they really deficient in so many drugs? And that can't be. But what really convinced me that that's not the right approach is that these people never get better. They constantly complain. They're not feeling good. They're on 15 drugs. You'd think they'd be the healthiest people in the world if that was the best approach. And, of course, through medical school and residency and everything else, that's the only approach doctors are exposed to. So they don't see what's going on in the rest of the world of treating people and their illnesses. And I started looking for different approaches to their problems. And basically, the different approaches, let's look for the underlying cause of their problem and not just a drug to treat a symptom. So that's the primary difference. And when you do that, you find that there are a lot of different approaches, and in most cases, far more effective. But because of the way the system is set up, you know, they promote the use of drugs. And this is the way it is. So, you know, there are other approaches. But I want to now get back to a topic we touched on a couple weeks ago when we said that Alzheimer's disease, the thinking has changed about it. I don't think they had much thinking about it, really, in that they didn't have a clue as to what caused it. All they saw was, on autopsy, that there were certain types of plaque in the brain that seemed to be consistently present in people that died with Alzheimer's. So what's new is that they realized that that plaque represents the brain's attempt to fight off infection. So what they were saying is Alzheimer's disease is really the result of infections, bacteria, viruses crossing the blood-brain barrier, and it's the body's attempt to not get sick. And if you had enough of that plaque build up, then you develop the dementia that we know as Alzheimer's. And the reason it was kind of interesting, and it sort of highlighted that statement, was what was reported about Chris Christopherson, who had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in the year 2006. And then recently, one of his doctors suggested he be tested for Lyme disease. Because I guess in taking the history, they said, you know, he might have been exposed to it when he was somewhere where Lyme was present and he was out hiking. And he tested positive for Lyme disease. And when they started treating him, his memory started returning. So what they called Alzheimer's disease was really neuro-Lyme disease. It was causing him to lose his memory, but it was coming back. So then we started looking at infectious diseases in a different way. Could infectious diseases be behind more and more of the conditions we deal with rather than a drug deficiency? So we sort of segued into cancer, for example. So they've, the medical establishment already acknowledges that cervical cancer, liver cancer, and stomach cancer are all related to infectious diseases. Could there be more infectious diseases associated with cancer? Well, there have been independent researchers that have indeed seen that association, but it's, you know, meeting with a lot of resistance. So what is the most common ailment, most common health condition that affects people in this country? And that's heart disease. Could infection be the cause of coronary heart disease? Now, how many of the doctors you go to look for, to see if there's an infectious component to your coronary artery disease? Well, first of all, they don't even look for it, number one. And number two, by the time you get symptomatic, it's kind of late in the course. Now they want to jump in and do angioplasties or bypass surgery. Who cares about infections at that point? You're too far along the course of the illness. So, Janet, I don't, you know, do many people realize that infectious disease plays a role in coronary artery disease?
I would say that's very far out of their realm of consciousness with regard to coronary artery disease. Mainstream medicine and mainstream media have been hammering on the aspect that it is cholesterol. And you are only able to manage your cholesterol satisfactorily according to their parameters with cholesterol-lowering drugs. And as far as recognizing an infectious component, it just doesn't happen.
Jenna, last night I went to a meeting. It was a meeting about how Medicare wants you to approach patients. And one aspect of it was to do a wellness visit. And there are some good components to it and some suspicious components to it, and I'll tell you what I mean in a second. And I think a wellness visit is a good idea because you're going to get into things that are outside what the patient might be complaining of. You can ask them, you know, do they have any trouble walking with their balance, things like that. What about their vaccination status? And specifically, they were very concerned that people get the flu vaccine and the pneumonia vaccine. You know, very concerned about that. They wanted that. And then they were dictating treatment for high blood pressure. And their, you know what their definition of high blood pressure is? A blood pressure above 119 over 79.
Oh.
You know, I'm just, you know, you'll get my gist in a second. They were dictating what drugs to use if you have signs of coronary artery disease, if you have high cholesterol, you must be on a statin drug. So it seems to me the drug companies wrote that wellness visit.
So apparently the drug companies are now in charge of Medicare. and there is no discussion of how to stay well, how to be reasonable. When you give an elderly individual blood pressure medication to keep their blood pressure under 120 in that 119 range, that individual is going to feel as though they can't function. They'll be dragging around. They'll be dealing with extreme fatigue. They will not feel energized, well, or supported in any way. They won't feel good.
That's true. And it's interesting. Years ago, the rule of thumb was your blood pressure, your systolic blood pressure, would be a little bit higher as you get older. And I used to say 100 plus your age, you would tolerate a little bit higher blood pressure, because it recognizes the fact that as you get older, the blood vessels lose their elasticity, and because of that, the pressures naturally go up. However, they really wouldn't tolerate a diastolic blood pressure above 90, because that's the pressure in your arteries during in between heartbeats. So, in other words, in between the beat of the heart, the pressure goes down. That's your diastolic blood pressure, and they say, you know, it shouldn't be above 90. And they've changed all that to, my opinion, sell more drugs. I don't know that it's really making a difference. In fact, I know it's not making a difference, and I'm not sure lowering the blood pressure as low as they want to do is making a difference either, at least a good difference, because I've had patients that came to me who had their blood pressure lowered to those standards by nephrologists who are these experts, so to speak, in controlling blood pressure. And she suffered, signs of transient ischemic attacks. In other words, evidence that not enough blood flow to the brain was occurring. So it's difficult to navigate all these requirements, especially when they go contrary to human physiology, and they seem to take the pathway to selling drugs. No mention, by the way, was about measuring fasting insulin levels and controlling that component that is really responsible for all these other problems. But now I want to get back to where infections come in. So we mentioned, I think yesterday, maybe the day before, there are over 200 different infections acknowledged that can infect humans. Over 200. So now think about that for a second, and we're coming up on a break, but think about this. They're recommending vaccinations for a handful of them. If you have a weakened immune system, and you vaccinate for, I don't know, how many, 10, 15 out of the 200? What about the other 190 infections that you didn't vaccinate? If you have a weakened immune system, you're susceptible to that. What have they really accomplished except selling more vaccines? And we'll talk more about this after the break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
How do you know what testing you should get at Advanced Medical Testing Centers? Advanced Medical Testing Centers offers testing packages at reduced rates so you can test for most common health challenges, hormone imbalances, immune issues, heart problems, blood sugar imbalances, and many others are available at AMT Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-23.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
Why should I do blood testing? I feel fine. Advanced medical testing provides information in advance of symptoms developing. Get the health information you need to stay healthy. Get the information you need to minimize the need for medical treatment. When you know where to focus your efforts, the results can be rewarding. Get healthy. Stay healthy. With the information you need from Advanced Medical Testing Center. 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about the possibility that infections may be the real underlying cause of heart disease, and yet that is not being addressed by people. Before I continue with it, I just wanted to pass along a list that they give as the most common infectious diseases worldwide. And I don't think the list is in order of, in any particular order as far as the numbers of people. I think it's in alphabetical order. So you have trypanosomiasis, which is sleeping sickness. So remember, these are the most common infectious diseases: cholera, cryptosporidiosis, dengue, you have hepatitis A, B, and C, you have AIDS, then you have influenza, leishmaniasis, malaria, measles, meningitis, pneumonia, rotavirus, shigellosis, strep throat, tuberculosis, typhoid, and yellow fever. Those are the most common ones. So, you know, clearly infections play a major role in the health of the world population. I think, you know, and think about all these diseases that you may not be familiar with, because they're not common in this country, and they're not common in this country because of good sanitation and good nutrition, because they don't have vaccines for most of those. You know, they have the vaccine for the hepatitis B, and they have the vaccine for measles, and they have a vaccine for pneumonia, but most pneumonia is a viral infection, not a bacterial. They do have a vaccine for typhoid and yellow fever. But clearly, the majority of infections around the world, they haven't treated with vaccines. And then I just wanted to touch base on that report about the amoeba that killed the 18-year-old girl in Ohio. I think we mentioned it briefly. She was swimming in fresh water. The amoeba, which is a parasite.
Dr. Slavin, it was warm fresh water. I think that's an important distinction to make.
Okay, warm fresh water. Now, how could it enter the body and get to the brain? Well, they say, you know, through the nose, and it could penetrate the membrane. You know, when you, the nose is in very close proximity to the brain. And she contracted the infection. Now, and initially, you know, she probably went to the emergency room maybe with headaches, maybe with a change in mental status. They don't really say exactly how it presented here. So I'm thinking initially they didn't know what she had, except that, you know, you can say she had a form of meningitis because that's what it presented like, but they didn't know it was amoebic. The official name would be amoebic meningoencephalitis. They wouldn't have known that. So anyway, they don't have a treatment for it. And they died, and they say most people that contract it die. There have been occasional people recovering from it. And it really would be a reflection of the number of amoeba that entered her body. If one amoeba entered it, she probably could afford it off. But if a lot came in at once, then she might have obviously had trouble fighting it. So here's an example in this country of a rare disease that becomes very dangerous. So you look up, and you can Google this, infections and coronary heart disease. And this comes out of a study that was done in England. And they say in infectious agents are now being implicated more frequently as causes of diseases that have been considered previously to be of a non-infectious etiology. In other words, you know, whoever thought that an ulcer in your stomach was caused by a bacteria until they discovered that H. pylori caused it. And that changed the thinking around for a lot of illnesses, because now they're looking, you know, I mentioned earlier all the different types of cancer associated with exposure to different infections. And coronary heart disease, because pays to look at that, because that's the number one killer in this country, is now being thought of as perhaps an infectious disease. And there is a large amount of data that points to several different pathogens, in other words, bacteria or viruses, that might be involved here. So, specifically, we're talking about the plaque that you see in atherosclerosis, and its natural history suggests infectious causation at many points along the progression of the disease. Viral agents that have been implicated in coronary heart disease include Coxsackie B virus. Then you have herpes simplex virus 1 and 2 have been found in the aorta. Then you have a cytomegalovirus has also been associated with coronary heart disease. Another one, chlamydia pneumonia and H. pylori have also been associated with coronary heart disease. So, why isn't anybody talking about this? Could it be that if we took a different approach to the problem, maybe we could avoid the progression of the illness to the point where you need surgery? Now, think about what I said about Alzheimer's disease, that the formation of plaque in the brain was the body's way of defending itself against the infectious agents that it was exposed to. Could the plaque in the coronary arteries be the body's defense mechanism against the bacteria that they're saying could be associated with coronary artery disease? Instead, they just focus on treating symptoms. So in its earliest stages, coronary artery disease have no symptoms. So how do you find out if someone has coronary artery disease if they have no symptoms? Because mainstream medicine's whole approach to treating anybody is starting with the chief complaint. So if you have no complaints, you must be healthy, is their approach. So what we do is when we look for people who might be potentially have coronary artery disease, for example, and there are a lot of tests that can point in that direction in people that have no symptoms, you can send them for a calcium score of their coronary arteries, which will tell you if you have more plaque than would be expected for your age or gender. But then what would you do? What does mainstream medicine have for those people? Statin drugs. You know, if statin drugs really worked, you wouldn't see the operating rooms doing angioplasties and bypass surgeries as busy as they are. All those people are on statin drugs, yet it's not making a difference. So I'm suggesting here that, you know, if you're really interested in trying to avoid the progression of that illness, you consider the possibility that an infectious disease might be a component of it. Because I can tell you right now, statin drugs do not do anything against infectious diseases. In fact, Janet, I'd like your opinion on this. Statin drugs might even weaken your immune system and predispose you to infectious disease.
I'm very much of the opinion that you are disturbing your immune system when you take a statin class drug. And indeed, if you review the research, people using statin class drugs, you see that your risk of developing certain types of cancer is increased when taking a statin drug. One of the areas that I'd like to discuss with regard to infection and opening the door, so to speak, making your body more vulnerable to an infectious microorganism, I'm thinking about all of the people who are taking antacid products, both prescription class as well as over-the-counter. One of the most prominent ways that people do become infected would be through foods and through oral routes. And when you lower the acid content in your digestive tract, in your stomach, then that leaves you much more vulnerable to the possibility of becoming infected with something that has a very real potential to make you ill. So very important to understand that when you're taking a very narrowly focused substance, that leaves your body very vulnerable to kind of a pushback effect, that you are going to develop, or you have a very high potential to develop, a side effect. And those side effects may lead you down the road into an area where you are vulnerable to much more serious illness. And with regard to this discussion on infection as the potential underlying issue with so many different diseases, it is crucial to understand you need to support enzyme content and acid content in your saliva, your upper digestive system, and in your stomach. So taking the antacid drugs can create a problem. Now, here's the other side of that discussion. The other side of that discussion is if you don't take care of the digestive distress that you're dealing with, you are vulnerable to inflammatory issues. So keep in mind that there are ways to normalize your digestive tract while keeping inflammation in a manageable area.
And it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex test and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about infectious diseases that cause other illnesses that we don't normally associate with infections. So that includes, for example, many types of cancer and Alzheimer's disease, for example. And we're talking now about coronary heart disease. I want to reiterate one thing about the number of infectious diseases that are seen frequently in this country. You have hepatitis A and B, diphtheria, hemophilus, influenza, Lyme disease. And what's interesting about Lyme disease, there was no reported incidence of Lyme disease prior to 1990. Then the statistics in the year 2000 start showing the prevalence, and it's increasing in number. And, of course, Lyme disease can cause dementia, can cause cardiovascular problems. Just another example of an infection that can cause other problems than just muscle aches and pains, a rash, and a fever, because that's what they usually attribute these infections as far as how they present. You have measles, you have meningitis, mumps, pertussis, polio. Since 2000, there haven't been any reported cases of polio. You have German measles. Then you have infections with salmonella. You have shigella. And then spotted fevers, like Rocky Mountain spotted fever. We are exposed to different infections depending where you, what part of the country you live in. You have tuberculosis. You have sexually transmitted diseases. Now, you would have thought that syphilis is no longer an issue. No, it's still being reported. And syphilis has a lot in common with Lyme disease because it's a similar type of bacteria causing the problem. And just like Lyme disease, you have primary and secondary syphilis. You have early latent. And then you have late and late latent, and you have congenital syphilis. Still a problem. You have chlamydia, gonorrhea, chancroid. Those all come under sexually transmitted diseases. So it's not being given the importance that they deserve, that perhaps a lot of the other illnesses, how many people present with aches and pains? Could be a sign of an infectious process in your body, yet they don't look for it. And they just treat it as, oh, you've got arthritis, take this anti-inflammatory. But if the inflammation is being caused by an infectious agent, does it make sense just to use an anti-inflammatory? If your coronary heart disease is being caused by an infectious agent, does it make sense just to treat it with surgery? For example. So we mentioned earlier that the infectious agents that are being considered as being related to coronary heart disease include the Coxsackie virus, the herpes simplex virus, cytomegalovirus, and then bacteria like chlamydia pneumonia and H. pylori. And I think we need to, consider all those things. When someone presents then with all these vague complaints that people come into the office with, and you do tests and you don't see anything wrong, and then the doctor says, well, I've got the perfect drug for you. It's going to get rid of your symptoms. It gets rid of the symptoms. It doesn't get rid of the cause, which may be an infection. So I think that's the point I'm trying to make. And there are lots of approaches. You can go with natural approaches to infection that might be helpful. And Janet, you were talking about the gastrointestinal component as far as infections go in the body. I'd like to, and you mentioned using acid blockers. There's a condition that's being recognized now called SIBO, S-I-B-O, which stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. When you suppress the normal acidic environment in the stomach, you make it more alkaline, you also allow bacteria to grow in your digestive tract where it normally wouldn't grow, and that creates a lot of symptoms. So, and then I'm sure you've heard all these commercials on TV that say, don't take this drug if you think you might have an infectious disease, or it will predispose you to an infectious disease because it suppresses your immune system. So I'm just looking at one thing that came to mind, because one of the diseases they always talk about is tuberculosis. And since 1960, the incidence of tuberculosis has been on the decline, but it's still present. And it's just that I think we have a false sense of security when you think about infectious diseases. So, and I think we're missing an opportunity to keep people healthy or to help people heal from their symptoms if you don't acknowledge the possibility that an infectious disease might be involved.
People have been led to believe that it is no longer an issue because of the presence of antibiotics. And I think more and more people are understanding that the antibiotics do come with a whole long list of potential side effects and brand new areas of problems. So they are not necessarily that miracle that we have been led by advertising agencies to that category that we should consider antibiotic drugs in. And so here's the idea. Keep your immune system very well supported. What are some of the things that take away from the effectiveness of your immune system? Sugar, that's just a real basic. And when I say sugar, I am including in that category artificial sweeteners as well. And people say, well, what am I going to sweeten my foods with? Well, learn about, if you have a very stable blood sugar, learn about raw, unfiltered honey. And keeping in mind that if you're shopping for your honey in a grocery store, the honey you're going to find there has been pasteurized. So all of the enzymes that are typically present in raw, unfiltered honey, those enzymes are missing. And if you are concerned about stability of your blood sugar chemistry, then think about using stevia. Stevia is going to have virtually no glycemic response, so you won't disturb your blood sugar. Keeping in mind that the more you get sweetness in your diet under control, the more you have the potential to lower developing inflammation. So consider getting sugar out of your diet and artificial sweeteners out of your diet as much as possible. That is the beginning of creating a very sound foundation for a supported immune system.
And I agree with that, and I think people don't realize that. And if you don't identify the problem, then you clearly don't have any chance of dealing with it or addressing it. So if you don't consider the possibility that an infection might be behind those vague symptoms that you have, there's a term we also use when it comes to the digestive tract called dysbiosis, meaning that you have an imbalance of bacteria in your digestive tract. You have some healthy bacteria, you have some unhealthy bacteria, you may have an overgrowth of yeast, and that's why probiotics are recommended so often now. And I don't think, Jen, I wonder how many people that you see for the first time are taking a probiotic?
Oh, that's interesting, Dr. Slavin. Some of our very long-term listeners are aware of the critical importance of maintaining that gut chemistry with a probiotic. And so I'm going to say plenty of our listeners know about that. First-time listeners and people who come to see me for the first time, they might be taking a multivitamin, they might be taking a probiotic, but very often the probiotic might not necessarily be one of very good quality. So it's a 50-50 situation.
And then I wonder how many doctors are recommending probiotics when they write that prescription for an antibiotic.
Oh, that's such a very sad state of affairs that so many of the doctors have their prescription pad out very readily for writing an antibiotic recommendation. However, far too few physicians, I'm going to say maybe it's in the realm of 2 to 5% of the physicians writing a prescription for an antibiotic either also write a suggestion for a probiotic or maybe just verbally give their patients a little suggestion about the importance of using a probiotic when you're taking that antibiotic drug.
Now, more evidence that infectious diseases are behind a lot of the ailments we face. When you correct the environment in your digestive tract by restoring the normal bacteria there, it's been shown that people with neurologic conditions like Parkinson's disease or multiple sclerosis start to see improvement. So how could that be? Well, there's a connection between your brain and your digestive tract. And if you have an imbalance of bacteria in your digestive tract, it can create systemic problems. So I think that we do not acknowledge that potential connection at our own peril. So, you know, taking probiotics is a good thing. Trying to avoid upsetting your digestive tract with antibiotics is very important. But then how do you avoid antibiotics if you if you eat food? The meat products, you want to make sure they're antibiotic-free. And even the fish, and you would think that, well, they're not growing fish with antibiotics, but maybe they are if they're farm-raised. But even if they're not, you know, when the fishermen go out and they catch the fish and they put it on ice in the ship until they get back, they dump antibiotics in there to keep the bacterial count low. So we just have to be concerned with exposure to all these antibiotics. And one of the ways to protect yourself is to take probiotics. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Jana Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, goji berry in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidant and immune support benefits in capsules. Find out more at Janazon.com.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Don't have time to juice today? Maybe you're traveling and you can't juice. The easy quality solution is JanaJuice. Two capsules gives you antioxidant benefits, the benefits of superfruits, acai, noni, goji, mangosteen. Those are just a few of the juice extracts in JanaJuice from Janet's Best Formulas. Visit janazon.com to learn more.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're going to summarize what we've been talking about, and that's infectious disease and how they may explain or be an underlying mechanism for a lot of the more common serious conditions we face, such as heart disease and cancer. So treating just an infectious disease when it presents may not be enough. We need to explore the possibility that infectious diseases may be involved in more than what we typically think about. So some of the signs and symptoms of infectious disease include fever, diarrhea, fatigue, muscle aches, coughing. But the problem is you can have absolutely no symptoms initially from your exposure to an infectious disease, and then it could turn up with a completely different organ being affected. How do you know if you have been exposed to infectious disease? Well, clearly if you received an animal bite, or if you're having trouble breathing or been coughing for more than a week, or having headaches or fever, rash or swelling in any extremity, unexplained or prolonged fever, and have sudden vision problems. See, but notice they leave off that list, coronary artery disease. And notice too, this is mainstream medicine's approach, they wait for you to have symptoms. And that's really the biggest drawback from mainstream medicine's approach is if you don't feel sick, they think you're healthy. And when we talk about infectious diseases, we're talking about bacteria, viruses, fungi, and parasites. So parasites, you can get it a lot of different ways. You know, in the news lately with Zika, you have the mosquito bite. You have West Nile virus mosquito bite. You have dengue, chikungunya mosquito bite. You can also get parasites transmitted to humans through animal feces. Now, the fungus is a whole different thing because they're all around us. And if you create an environment that's conducive for fungal growth, then it may develop. Just for example, you get athlete's foot or ringworm. But there are more serious fungal infections that could affect your lungs or nervous system, particularly if you're in an area of the country where those types of fungi are prevalent. Now, viruses, there are really literally hundreds of viruses that range from the common cold to acquired immune deficiency syndrome. They're not being diagnosed because, again, if you don't have a symptom, they don't think you could have any type of infection. And then in bacteria associated for a lot of other illnesses, from a strep throat to urinary tract infections to tuberculosis, a lot of different types of infections. And think about this. Your immune system, if it's functional, and you keep it healthy, does a remarkable job in controlling all these infections. But if you allow it to get weakened, these infections can start to create more more problems for you. So it was the possibility that, or it was actually the observation that I see people taking all these drugs to treat all these symptoms that they have and still not getting better. And I said, well, what's going on here? What other approaches are there? And I said, going to different medical meetings, and they're talking about ultraviolet blood therapies, treating all these kind of problems and getting people well with no side effects. I'm saying I have to look into that. And yeah, we do that treatment now and seeing the same good results for people. But you have to look for the underlying problem. And the same thing was true with chelation therapy. You know, I watched people go for the bypass surgery and die as a expected complication of the procedure. In other words, it's acceptable that at least that 5% of the people operated on might die from the procedure. That's an acceptable number. If you extrapolate that to the number of people who get the bypass operation, 5% is a big number of people dying from it. But that's okay. That's acceptable. I always wonder, when a doctor fills out that death certificate of a person who died after bypass surgery, does he write the patient died from coronary artery disease or did he die from the procedure? Same thing is true about cancer. When a patient dies, did he die from the cancer or does it get written there? Or did he die from the treatment that he was getting? It's not clear. And my thought is that they write the underlying disease and leave out the possibility that the treatment was responsible. So what we look for are effective treatments that have little side effects associated with them. And that's where all these approaches, intravenous vitamin C, ultraviolet blood treatments, chelation therapy, and other intravenous nutrient therapies stimulate and strengthen your body's immune system so it can function more effectively and keep these underlying problems in check. Janet, you have any other observations?
Well, the name of the game is immune system support. When your immune system functions properly, you reduce inflammation. When your immune system functions properly, you significantly enhance how well your body fights off an exposure to infectious agents. And we understand in this discussion, Dr. Slavin, that infection goes far beyond what we are considering a danger to our health, and I'm talking about bacteria, because as you said, parasites from a mosquito bite, the potential for viral infections, the potential for fungal infections, all of which are not addressed by what we've been led to believe are the super drugs for preventing infection. So over time, the things to choose are high-quality dietary aspects that are supportive of immune function. So lots and lots and lots of vegetables, herbal and condiment supports such as certain amounts of sea salt, olive oil, garlic, those kinds of things, all very helpful at reducing the potential for developing inflammation and very helpful at supporting how your immune system is meant to work. What are the things that are going to interfere with a proper immune system response? Certainly those things that come in the ingredient list in processed and prepared foods, and you are going to be much better served with single ingredient food choices rather than something that comes in a box and has a list of maybe 15 different ingredients. And some of those ingredients most likely would be in the area of preservatives, flavor enhancers, things that are going to stretch out the shelf life of that particular product, color enhancers. When we start to talk about the things that are added to foods, we very much get into a discussion where you're doing a great deal of harm, interfering with how your immune system is meant to work. Keeping in mind that these additional ingredients in processed foods are there for the benefit of the manufacturer, not for the benefit of the consumer. And indeed, they are seriously able to interfere with how well your immune system works. And then for people to understand some of the choices for detoxifying, so to speak. So greens such as dandelion, and you can even get a dandelion extract. Very helpful for helping to cleanse the liver. When your liver is working properly, all different systems of your body are then supported. Don't forget the importance of vitamin C. Vitamin C to not only support your immune system, but doing so much with regard to reducing inflammation. And before we run out of time, Dr. Slavin, I just wanted to let everyone know that I am at Greenlands today from 11 to 2, and you can come in and see me and continue this discussion at Greenlands. Supporting your good health is the focus.
All right, then, and we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank all our listeners. Don't forget, Natural Doc Radio is here every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, but you can also find us on our website, naturaldocradio.com. We archive all the programs. Again, thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.